This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of everybody's favorite Bow Ties and Bullshit, coming to you from the patio studios, the original place for Cardinal, original party place for Cardinal fans everywhere, pre or post game. Don't forget, patios is the original spot to hang out, to meet, to get it together, to get it on, whatever you want to do. That's the place. And definitely want to thank Randy Green from InnovativeCompanies.com for his continued support of all our shows here from Two Birds on a Bat, as he's the man you trust when it comes to residential, commercial, or industrial work. Construction team, heating and cooling team, and electric team, ready to take on any job that you may have. You know that you're going to get it done when you have the trusted source of Randy Green, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, man of his word, just an all-around great human being that's here to help you get a good job done. That's my man, Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. As you can tell in my voice, I'm feeling a little uppity today. I've long taken issue with the things in sports that people want to accept as being okay and then turning their head to other things. And I've said since day one, I'll give you an example, and I think everybody knows where I'm going already. My thing, like, for instance, I'm not stupid. I know, okay, I've had this conversation with the right people, and you all know who that is. Every pitcher has something on their body so that they can grip the ball a little better. Okay. Well, if everybody's doing it and the hitters don't care, then make it legal. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Make it legal. Okay. So before I get into this rant and you hear that guy in the back that I love is agreeing with me, because I have a feeling it's going to be a great conversation. Let's welcome in everybody's favorite shirtless wonder, Kyle Reese.
Nah. Hey, Jim, how are you, bud?
Well, I think you know where I'm going with this. I love the game of baseball, played baseball until I couldn't play no more. The bottom line is, I understand certain elements of the game that are what I would call acceptable form of gamemanship. Like, for instance, for this conversation, there is absolutely nothing wrong with men, okay, working within the system out at second base if they want to tell a hitter what's coming. That's fine. The way I look at it, you're on second base. You know, you've gotten to second base. Okay, that's fine. And that's gamemanship. I get it. But what's coming out of Houston is as disturbing as the Pete Rose thing. It's as disturbing. And here's the thing. It's as disturbing as performance-enhancing drugs. And here's the thing, folks. If you don't think so, you really don't understand how hard the game is to play. Because I assure you as I sit here today, if you go and tell every major league hitter when an off-speed pitch is coming, they're going to be way better hitters. Way better. Okay? Like, extremely better. Just go to any facility right now in the off-season and watch high school kids hit off-speed pitches off a machine. They all look like pros. And then go watch them in any high school game try to hit a curveball. Okay? So it only naturally will tell you how good they are at the next level if they know what's coming. That's why they make such a big deal about pitchers tipping pitches. Because when they know what's happening, you're already taking the best players in the world and telling them, here it comes. This is a big deal, Kyle. This is a really big deal. And if it gets glossed over, like the New England Patriots thing in the Super Bowl, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Videoing the walkthrough, because everybody knows what you do, okay? That's a big deal. Thoughts?
It's funny you bring up the Patriots, because it seems like the Patriots and the Astros are kind of the same thing here, not only because of that, but it seems like it's kind of just like one weird controversy after the other. It not only technologically, but, you know, you think about like the quote-unquote Deflategate, which is a term I hate using, but with the deflated balls, like, sure, obviously the Astros aren't deflating the baseball, but there's other things beyond just the sign stealing that the Astros seem to just constantly be involved in. You know, that we're not even talking about the assistant general manager who made those crazy comments to the reporter. Like, I'm talking about issues with the Major League Baseball draft a couple of years ago. You know, the Astros, while they are probably right now the best, like, franchise in the game, success-wise and depth-wise from a minor league standpoint as well, they're built to last. Kind of like the Patriots always end up being. They're just always marred in some type of controversy, too. And it's been that way for nearly all of Jeff Luhnow's tenure there, even if it is by proxy, in regard to the Cardinals, Chris Correa taking proprietary information from them. It just seems like they're always on the forefront of these type of things. And I'm with you. Look, technology, I was on the Chirps podcast. Tara Wellman's usually on it. I was on with Alex Crisafulli. It's something we do at Birds on the Black. I was on that last night, and we were talking about this. And it just seems that, like, it's hard for every avenue in life to catch up to technology because technology is moving so quick. But baseball in particular is moving slow. You have organizations that are incorporating technology in. But, like, the rules in baseball are definitely behind. Like, they were behind implementing instant replay. They haven't made any changes to instant replay. They haven't adjusted to instant replay. It all stays the same. And, like, with this, the fact that they haven't already, like, made some type of comment or adjustment to it already, and even just this short period of time, and you know it's not just this short period of time, you know that they've known about this probably since 2017. The issue was prevalent again in the ALCS. You know that they're dragging their heels on this. And, you know, any advantage that you can steal, in my opinion, that's on the diamond, I don't have a problem with that. Like you said, if you're at second base and you're trying to peer into the catcher and steal those signs and relay those signs to the hitter, like, to me, that is part of the game. But when you start using technology to manipulate the system, that changes it. Like, that takes a very big chunk of what makes baseball great, in my opinion, out of the game. It just changes that dynamic completely. So I'm 100% with you. I think this is a big thing. I think that the Astros need to be hammered for this. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. I really don't have any ideas either. I do think that an example needs to be made of the Astros before it gets out of hand. And it might already be out of hand. I know that they were in another World Series. I know they've won a World Series. And I know that they've been in an ALCS all in this time frame. And, you know, if this was the NCAA, they'd probably have to forfeit championships. You know, it's a bullshit forfeit thing. But you know what I'm saying.
Sure. Like, yeah.
This is serious, serious cheating. This isn't just some, this isn't pine tar. This isn't sign stealing from one base runner to a hitter. It's something completely different on the cutting edge of technology as the game struggles to catch up with it. And that's my thought. I hadn't thought of it in terms of, like, how it compares to Pete Rose in gambling on baseball or Shoeless Joe Jackson or anything. Like, my brain hadn't even reached that point yet. But just thinking about it, and especially thinking about it and talking about it last night, the more I think about it, the more, like, I get behind the idea and feel firm in my belief that the Astros need to be hit hard for this. They need to be hit hard.
Well, okay, so I love where you went with some of these things. So first off, let's say this. The Pete Rose thing, people want to act like that wasn't a big deal. It is a big deal because, number one, there's integrity involved. So that's number one. Number two, the influence that Pete Rose had over multiple people that were unknowing of what he was doing is at issue. See, people want to gloss over that stuff. They also want to gloss over the fact that Pete Rose, one way or another, could have hurt somebody trying to win money. See, so the bottom line is, you know, you can gloss over that and you can try to use common sense and say, oh, come on, or what. Like, I have a buddy that always says, he never bet against the Reds. He always bet on the Reds. And I always go, well, that's fine. So Pete Rose really needs to win a game, and he's used his closer 2 days in a row and really shouldn't be using him 3 days in a row, but he throws him out there anyway and ends his career, or he makes bad decisions trying to push to win a game. Like, whatever, right? Like, there's a variety of ways to look at it. So, but I also understand it, okay? Now, that being said, I will say this. The integrity part of it's the big deal. This whole other deal, the shady part, see, this is shady as can be, too, by the way. And I've said this for, like, people have always thought that, like, when certain things are fixed or people are doing this, people, you know what's going on. Like, the NFL, you know the NFL's doing whatever. And I always say, well, it sure looks like it. But you would have to believe that human beings are flawed by nature. Sooner or later, somebody's going to say something drunk at a club. It's going to get back to somebody. Sooner or later, somebody's going to get mad at somebody and say something or do whatever. And then, so what happens is you get rumblings, right? And what have we gotten over the years? We've gotten rumblings that get shut down real quick. And then, of course, all the do-gooders out there go, see, it was squashed. There was no cheating. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Here's the thing. When Tony La Russa has brought attention to something in the past, everybody's called him a whiner. Or when somebody has brought attention to this, somebody's called them a whiner. Let me tell you something about these guys. They're not whiners. They know. And they get fed up with it. And they get frustrated. They're not going to ruin their reputation on, oh, I think they're doing this. Okay? There is merit behind, like, that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why it doesn't get brought up every day. It gets brought up when people get frustrated. They think somebody's taken it too far. They think that they've taken it to another place. That's when this stuff gets brought up. And people want to wash it under the rug. See, there was no cheating. See, like the Patriots fans. What? They didn't do anything wrong. The NFL said, well, what do you mean they didn't? If they didn't do anything wrong, it's like the stuff in the glove. If it's not wrong, then make it legal. If this isn't wrong, then put in the rule books that you can put a camera out in center field, and you can put a light, and you can put a camera or a TV in the dugout, and you can signal the batter what's coming. Go ahead, make it legal. If it's no big deal, make it legal. If it's no big deal for pitchers to have substances, okay, then do it. I'm going to tell you right now, Kyle, you're going to love this. You know, I love baseball. I consider myself educated in the game and all this. We are starting a project here, and I can't go too far in depth with it, but it's in conjunction with somebody that we're doing this, and we've been working on it for a long, long time. We have a baseball guy here who basically wants to take some of the old KMOX stuff, do some stuff with them, and incorporate it into like a history type thing. Awesome. Kind of not so much like what Bruno's doing. This is a little bit different. But we've been working like in conjunction with KMOX to try to get this partnership going for a while. Well, they told him, give us an idea of what you're talking about doing. So he did a first pass on it. And one of them was Rogers Hornsby and how great Rogers Hornsby was and all this kind of stuff. Well, the live ball era and when that started is like defining what the ball was. Do you know what the biggest thing that changed in baseball back then was? It was the fact that they quit allowing pitchers to use spitters. It was so well known, and it was made, and using a spitball made such a difference that when they outlawed the spitball, it was amazing the offensive numbers, how they jumped. Okay.
I'll be damned.
So it's amazing. Like, I'm telling you, I can't wait to do this thing. His name's Tony Hubert. You know, he's worked in radio for a long, long time, and he works for us now doing other things, but you know, his passion's never left radio, and he's a real educated, smart guy, very articulate, and he loves to research. And I'm telling you, this thing I'm going to send it to you because I want to get your thoughts on it, but, it's amazing how people want to say, well, oh, the live ball error, they just made the ball harder. No, there was more to it than that. It was, they outlawed the spitter. I mean, it's all this stuff, right? So my point is, they didn't allow them to do that anymore. Well, then the pros nowadays say it's okay if they use something sticky because the hitters would prefer in cold weather that the batter, that the pitcher has more control and doesn't drill them, right? But the bottom line is, and here, I'll take it to another, what's Trevor Bauer been doing for 2 years that he's been called a whining bitch for? He's been telling you, He's been telling you what's going on in Houston. Everybody goes to Houston and they're like, man, it's a resurgence of youth here for their pitchers. And he goes, well, of course it is. They're using a substance on the ball to throw harder. And let me, and in fact, he's went as far as to tell you what it is.
Yeah.
And everybody acts like he's a whiny bitch. And here's another thing I'm going to finish on when it comes to this. Here's my biggest problem with it. What have we been being told for years? They're the model franchise. The reason they're so good is analytics. And they're doing it. Well, the reason they're so goddamn good is because they're cheating like a son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely brings that into question. I love that you ended, you know, your thoughts on that. I agree with you. I really don't have, like, it's tough for me because I agree with what you're saying. But my question is, and it was something that Alex and I talked about last night, what is the rule? Because I've been told and I've seen that the rule is you cannot use technology in any capacity to steal signs. And if that is, like, the rule, and again, I don't know if it is, that's only what I've heard, only what people have been talking about. But if that's the rule and it's already written, then you shouldn't need much more elaboration than that. You know, I think John Mozeliak had a quote, Derek Gould had it on Twitter, where John Mozeliak said something about each team should have X amount, you should only be allowed X amount of cameras in a stadium, and maybe that's it, and that those cameras have to be in a certain spot. And if there's any more than that, then you get in trouble. My thought is to, you know, extrapolate on something that I said earlier. I think what I'm tired of is I think I'm tired of Major League Baseball dragging their heels when it comes to adjusting to both technology and controversial topics. And I love the fact that there's controversy in baseball. It's one of the things that makes baseball fun and fun to talk about. You know, I love the human element in the game, but I think they need to be smart about what they're doing. And I love that you bring up the pine tar thing or whatever it is, a sticky substance for pitchers. Everyone knows. Everyone's okay with it. Write it in the rules. Say, all right, pitchers can use pine tar. And that's it. Or pitchers can use whatever, and that's it. And if they're caught using anything else, then they're gone. It's, you know, get ahead of it. Stop working on the heels of your own rules. Get ahead of it. See something and adjust to it. You know, don't be slow to adjust. Don't let things blow up and then adjust. That's not how you operate an effective business. And sure, yes, it keeps your sport in the forefront. People are talking about it. You know, I'm sure that there's people who have never watched baseball or who watch only the playoffs, or who watch only their local team, that are at work today talking about the Astros scandal. I'm sure that that's going on, and that's great for baseball. You know, all publicity is good publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity. But from a fan standpoint, and watching your team get cheated, literally cheated out of wins, it really hurts, and it's a really, really, really terrible look. And just another example of baseball seems more poorly run than it ever has been.
Well, let's bury our head and see if we can't, you know, just get by this. But I think this is going to be too big. And, you know, it wasn't any doubt to me. So I believe Mike Fears is the one that brought it out.
Yeah.
And I believe somebody else kind of validated it from a competitive standpoint. I don't think anybody else has come out and said they're involved in it. Now, I find it interesting that Carlos Beltran decided to speak on it right away, which I think that was – if I was Carlos Beltran, I would have distanced myself from this conversation. Being a brand new man
– what did he say?
He says, I don't know anything about – because he was there. He's like, you know what he did say? He said, listen, absolutely – steal signs from second base. Absolutely. Absolutely. Get there early, work hard, read the pitchers, do all this. Absolutely. I don't know anything about a camera in center field. Come on, man. See, here's the deal. This is why he shouldn't have never said a word, because now he's a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a liar. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much I love Carlos Beltran. He's a liar. Okay, because you would have to be like, there is no way they have a camera in center field. They have a guy in center field. They have a TV in the dugout. Okay? There's no, and a system to bang a trash can, and they don't know about it. Now, let me say this. You could have a guy with immense amount of integrity that says, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be any part of this. And maybe that is Carlos Beltran. But don't come out and say what you said, because if you're a liar. Listen, AJ Hinch, everybody in there knew it was happening. Everybody. The pitcher on the mound knew it was happening. Just go watch that disturbing video. Farquhar, is that his name?
I always mispronounce it, but
okay.
It is.
Did you see that video? Yeah.
It's disturbing.
It's disturbing. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I've said it once and I'll say it again. When Tony La Russa, like, remember him bringing up the ribbon board in Milwaukee?
Absolutely.
Okay, there's a reason he brought it up. Because I guarantee his guys went to him and said, every time I'm hitting, man, that thing is flashing and I can't pay attention.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, remember the goddamn Minnesota Twins having the damn vent on when they were like this is unbelievable. And see, and just like I said, this shit all comes full circle and somebody eventually runs their mouth.
Uh-huh. I was going to bring that vent thing up. When we were talking about the Patriots, I was going to say, you know, there were always those scandals that indoor teams would blow fans out, you know, so that if it was kicking a field goal, it would change the trajectory and the distance on a field goal. And then I was going to transition into the Twins thing there, but I blew right through it. Yeah. Yeah. All of those things. And you know, they need to be stopped. And it's a disaster. It's funny, you know, with the Astros in particular, you think back to a couple of years ago when they were accused of trying to steal signs from other teams' dugouts using video cameras. And their answer was, oh, we're just using video cameras to make sure that they're not using video cameras to steal our signs.
Right.
And again, it's just like, man, it's one thing after the other with the Astros. One of the things I talked about last night on the podcast that I did for Birds on the Black was, a couple of years back, the Atlanta Braves, and Alex looked up the guy's name, the GM, it's some Greek name or something. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. The guy's banned from baseball now for life because he did something that every organization did. He just did it louder than everyone else and did it less bashfully than everyone else in baseball does. They manipulated the international signing period.
Capoeira? That's right.
Capoeira. Again, that gentleman, they did what everyone else did, except for they did it louder.
Right.
And did it without fear. And they flaunted it. And because they flaunted it and did it louder and weren't scared of it, they got into a lot of trouble for it. And the system still hasn't changed because of it. You still have teams that are signing 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old Dominican players to contracts before they can even sign a contract using quote-unquote trainers that are actually agents. And sure, the system's broke. But they did it louder than everyone. They did it in a more manipulative fashion, and they did it sneakier than anyone else did. And were actually boastful about it. And they got hit. They had to forfeit all of their international signings from that period. All those guys became free agents for anyone to sign. And that guy was sent to baseball hell. He's not allowed to ever be involved in Major League Baseball again. I don't think he's allowed at the stadiums. I don't think he's allowed anything. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I think that for the actual game, what the Astros did is worse than that.
Way worse. You're talking about signing a kid that may never step foot on a Major League Baseball field. Okay, but it is wrong. But again, to my first point of the day, if everybody's doing it and everybody's okay with it, then make it legal. Then say this is okay. You know what? You can sign them right out of the damn womb if you want. If you want to get Jackie Joyner Kersee and Vladimir Guerrero together and they have a baby and you want to sign it out of the womb, go right ahead. Make it legal. But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, it doesn't matter to me. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Mick Allen sent a tweet at us for our Patterson Tire text line. And I'm going to tell you something, does this news about Houston cheating give any validity, to the accusations of former Cardinal employee Chris Correa as to Houston using? Absolutely. Listen, the Cardinals may not want to make waves here because they may want to just push past it. And this may fall into the you're cheating, so I'm going to cheat thing. And I get that. But the reality of it is this guy said, let me tell you, they're doing wrong things here, and everybody dismissed him because he got caught. Oh, you're just trying to save your. Let me tell you something. I promise you right now, Chris Correa knows more than the average bear.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't validate what.
Sure. No way. Still, no way. Exactly. No way, shape, or form does it validate it. So here's the thing, and this is going to be an interesting question. I want you to think about this while I do our quick intro here.
Okay.
So let's try to end this and get into a little bit of Cardinal talk before you go. We don't have, but while I do this, I want you to think about this. Okay. if everybody's doing it and you don't do it and you're at the highest level, are you hurting your chances at winning, which ultimately is all it's about? Yeah. Think about that. Twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. We're going to ask everybody to please do so. You know, a lot of you guys like to wait for it to come out on social media, you know, go through that route. We're really asking everybody to subscribe. It takes 30 seconds. It's free. Just hit the subscribe to the podcast button. Make sure you check out our Two Birds bloggers there as well. Find us on social media at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Please like our page there. When you see the pin post, if you would like it and comment on it, that's our latest show. And if you share it, that helps us reach more people. You'll see that on there typically on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So if you guys would go there in the evening or late afternoon, you should find it. Find us on Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show, and on lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. To all of our partners out there, we couldn't do the show without you guys. Of course, Adam Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis. Make sure you guys get over to Watson Road. Check them out. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. If you have a large event and want catering, you could do no worse. I promise you, they are just unbelievable. Like, I've been to a couple of events that they've catered, and I'm telling you, typically those are things where, like, you've been doing something all day and you can't wait, and all of a sudden you walk in and there's Adam Smokehouse. You got all this barbecue, and then you sleep through the afternoon. It's tremendous, but it is. It's awesome barbecue. Like, you can't go wrong with anything you order. Mike and his staff do a tremendous job. They do box lunch orders for your office, but they're on Watson Road. They do deliver to certain zip codes as well, but make sure you tell them your friends at Two Birds on a Bat sent you on over and tell Mike and the crew we said hello. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. DrKristenJacobs.com wants to remind you every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Make sure you guys check out Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. Find out if there's something she can do to help you with something you're in need of. But as she always reminds you, check out your skin, folks. Take care of it. It's yours. Every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. DrKristenJacobs.com. Spent some time last night with the Illinois Gators. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Doing some training with some of the kids. It's tremendous opportunity for them to get better in the offseason. Located in Missouri and Illinois, that's the GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. And their four-pillar system. You guys will not regret it. Check them out. Okay, my friend. Before we go to the Patterson Tire text line, I want you to think about what I asked you. So think about that. Every pitcher's using this substance, and you just aren't going to do it. But in the end, you know, you want to get paid. And ultimately, that's I think you know where I'm taking this, right? So let's just start there. So everybody's getting paid. Everybody's trying to win. Everybody's trying to win. You know, it's all about stats. It's all about wins. It's all about numbers, right? And you know everybody's doing it. What do you do?
Well, I mean, what do I do? I'm a degenerate. So I'm cheating like a jackass. Hell yeah, I am. But, yeah, you know, a smarter, stronger, more average human being might just bank on their own talents. I think it just depends on what level of success you're having as compared to others. You know, if you're Jack Flaherty and you're not doing any of that stuff and you're still having success, you probably just keep doing what you're doing. You know, maybe you tamper a little bit, maybe you screw around a little bit, but you probably just keep doing what you're doing. I think it just depends. Like, we were talking about minor league pay. If I'm a minor leaguer right now and I know my only way to have a chance at a real paycheck instead of making, you know, less than $6,000 a year is to load a ball up with pine tar. I'm going to load a ball up with pine tar.
Absolutely.
I'm going to try to steal every sign that I can. You know, I'm doing everything I can to get that competitive advantage. And if I find out that I can use technology and not get in trouble for it, I'm going to use technology and not get in trouble for it. It's the same debate as the steroid era to a degree. You know, I don't fault any of those players for doing it. The issue to me is how Major League Baseball handled it back then. You know, all of a sudden we want to vilify these players for what was commonplace. You know, the fault is on Major League Baseball for not handling it right. Again, for being behind a topic instead of ahead of it. So, yeah, I'm like, I get both angles. I get both angles. You know, my thing has always been, you know, I guess it's part of that old adage where easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission or whatever. Do whatever you have to do until you get caught. And if someone else gets caught doing what you're doing, then now it's time to adjust. And if you're not adjust, if you haven't adjusted when you see someone else get in trouble and then you get in trouble down the line, again, you're the only one to blame for it. So as long as you're willing to take responsibility for your own actions, then yeah, do whatever the hell you think you have to do. But just know that it could backfire as loudly as any vehicle could possibly backfire.
The only way it'll ever stop is if you go death penalty on first strike. You know what I mean? Like, you brought up a great point. If they're not going to stop you from playing forever. What? Why not take a chance? And I can tell you this, it's a whole lot easier for everybody, and I mean everybody, to cheat if everybody else is doing it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like a kid. It's like a baby. Mm-hmm. If it's around something every day, whether it's right or wrong, and they're watching it happen, and they're doing the same, they're going to do it. It's very simple. Don't give me this right and wrong bullshit and you should know right from wrong. That's the environment they're in. Number one, it lends itself to being an ultra-competitive environment where only the strong survive. It's like being in the wild to some degree when it comes to this kind of shit. And what I'm saying is, every one of them, it's like bunting. It's like hitting a ground ball to second with a runner on second or a runner on third. Nobody gets paid for that shit, okay? Nobody gets paid for having a lot of potential in the minor leagues because you're not cheating and everybody else is. Yeah. That's that, you know, the whole goal, like, it just, like, listen, the whole system by virtue of how they've and again, they've opened themselves. This is their fault, not ours. They've lent themselves to this type of atmosphere, the way they've handled everything, because in the end it was what? It was good for them. Steroids were great for baseball, whether they want to admit it or not. What was bad for baseball is the way they handled it. And that's evidenced by society. Look at how we've treated baseball. Every player that's cheated and come out and admitted it, we've welcomed them with open arms.
Yeah.
The only ones we have a problem with are the liars. That's the, like, everybody's still pissed at Rafael Palmeiro. Everybody's still pissed at Roger Clemens. Everybody's still pissed at Sammy Sosa. But we love Mark McGwire.
Yeah.
We love Andy Pettit. We love all these guys that come out and said, I made a mistake. We're a forgiving society. Think about it. They've got the biggest cheater on Major League Baseball on Sunday nights.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's more marketable now than he's ever been too.
And I say biggest cheater. That's not fair. He may be the second biggest cheater. I don't know, but I know he did it multiple times. Admittedly, right?
Yeah, a guy who's just as well known for cheating as he is for being an MVP candidate and one of the best players of his generation.
Unbelievable, like, too. Talent,
that's my part. Like, you talk about them being, what's best for them and being a forgiving society and a forgiving fan base, baseball-wise, you know? But that's my favorite part in all this, is Alex Rodriguez is more marketable now after cheating and after playing baseball than he's ever been, you know, which goes into the whole, like, wait, baseball might actually have a marketing issue on top of it. But that's what blows my mind. And I'll tell you one thing that I do love from, like, maybe this is more of a macro outlook, but you know, the Astros are stealing signs, and it's giving them a huge advantage. They're doing it like potentially no other team has ever done. It's giving them an advantage like potentially no other team has ever had. And yet, to show you how hard it is to be successful at baseball, again, they were successful as a team. They had MVP candidates. They might have a guy who wins an MVP. They've got a guy in Jose Altuve who has 1.5 billion hits. No one hit 400. You know, no one hit 60 home runs. And it just goes to show you that that's why these teams are searching for the competitive advantage at that level, like, are trying to do everything they can. Because even when you know a breaking pitch is coming, even when you know a fastball is coming, you still have to have the result. And baseball is so hard to have the result, even when you are cheating. And it's just incredible. You know, like that Evan Gattis at bat against Farquhar, or however you pronounce his name. I love watching that at bat. He knows what's coming. And, you know, they adjust to him, of course. But he still can't do anything. Like, he can't do anything with it. And that's not to justify what the Astros are doing, because I'm still very pissed off about what they're doing. But what I'm trying to do here is just highlight the fact that baseball, even when you have the competitive advantage, it's still hard to be successful. And that's, like, that's why it's so important to come down on the Astros hard for that.
Did you watch how the at-bat ended?
Well, the last thing I watched was I watched them come out, the catcher come out and talk to Danny about.
And Danny admittedly said they know it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they wind up getting him out on an off-speed pitch when they can't bang the drum because they don't put a sign down.
there you go. There you go. I love that at bat again because he fouls off a pitch that's tough, you know, but even then, like, he knew that pitch was coming. He knew, he didn't know where it was going to be, of course, but he still fouled it off and it was tough. And like, it again, all I'm trying to highlight is that that's how tough baseball is. You know the pitch is coming. You have a general idea of where that pitch is going, and you still can't do anything with it.
That's
right. So it goes to show you that even if you have the slightest bit of advantage, and if you're doing it in a way that's already breaking an established rule, then, you know, you might not have success, but it's super fucked, and it needs to be remedied.
It just kills me how, and you know, that you hear these things, and everybody just go out like, there's a guy in center field with a camera. I saw him. He's out there. And everybody goes, oh, yeah. Come on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. No, these guys aren't crazy. Like, why would I want people to stop and think about this for a second. I can't remember who the guy was that said it. Because there you go. Rather than it be made a big deal and somebody look into it, we just dismissed it. This guy's crazy. So let me get this straight. A Major League Baseball player who now only has his career and his reputation. This loon ball came in and said, hey, there's a guy in center field with a camera. And everybody went, you're crazy. So this guy put himself out there. He's made it to the major leagues. And he puts himself out to the media and says, there's a guy out in center field with a camera. And everybody's like, this guy needs to check his meds. Mm-hmm. I just, the whole thing stinks. And I want to end it with this. Because we could talk about this for days. The reality is this. The Houston Astros have been caught, basically. Okay?
Yeah.
Does this mean it's only the Houston Astros doing it like this? I don't know. But what this tells you is, okay, this is like a good old boys club.
Yeah.
Okay? Everybody's doing something, and that's typically why they don't make a big deal of it. If you remember when John Lester had the stuff in his glove and the minor league player posted it. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Tony La Russa was one of the first ones to, like, the Cardinals made this guy take the post down. Tony La Russa, it was brought to, would not challenge the game.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think he didn't do it? It's because they're the all doing it.
Doing
That's
it.
Right. Yeah. They're all doing it. Now, so it's the same thing as this. Now, what I will say is, and this is where I wanted to finish this. I found it interesting, this quote from Fears on ultimately why it was an issue with him. Okay, and this is what I've always wondered. Would they trade their soul to win right now? Because guys aren't always on the same team. Well, guess what? Fears was gone. He was playing on another team that had to go in there, and he's like, look, you think I'm not going to tell the guys I'm playing with to try to get an advantage? We want to win. Plus, he's right. Young players come into Houston and get knocked around and they never see the major leagues again and they lose their, like, it's not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people want to say, well, he sure didn't say anything when he was there. Well, again, does that make Mike Fears good or bad? I don't know. It makes him human.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think these guys will sell their soul to win, to get a gazillion dollars because we're flawed as humans. But guess what? We have a problem, and I think you brought it up earlier. How they handle this is now more important than the fact that it's happened, in my opinion.
I agree. I completely agree.
All right, so before you go, we got to do one baseball thing because somebody had sent something in for you on the Patterson Tire text line. And cool. Is that okay? Do you have a minute to take a real baseball question?
Let's do it.
Okay, and, you know, thanks again one more time, as all, well, not one more time, because we're going to continue to thank them, but the Patterson family at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call for a quote, 618-797-6711. They can give you a quote right over the phone for brakes or tires or certain other things as well, but they do automotive repair, which you can take your car in and have them check it out. That check engine light's on, get it in there sooner rather than later. They're located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois, 62040. Great family-owned business that's been around for a long, long time and done a ton in their community. Honest people that do honest work for reasonable prices. That's the Patterson family with Patterson Tire and Service. All right, so as you can imagine, we've gotten, geez Louise, tons of stuff that's come in on the text line about the cheating scandal. But what I want to do is I want to get your opinion on something here that I think is going to be interesting that also came out that surprisingly is not getting a lot of talk, and I think it's because of this. So with Yachty apparently, gentleman does not have his name on here, but with Yachty apparently wanting to extend his contract, does this put Andrew Knizer on a similar boat as Carson Kelly. I would think he'd be an attractive piece for a lot of teams for catching prospects. So first off, let's start from the top on this, and let's just, you know, I'll give you your stage here. So let's start with the fact that this has come out now. And I you know, unofficially I kind of knew this was coming, right?
Yeah.
So he wants to play. That tells me that the guy feels as healthy as he's felt. We know he takes care of himself like no other. Father Time's undefeated. We all know that, right? So where do you sit on this and the complexity of it, and how, and obviously it affects Andrew Knizer, but in your opinion, where do we go from here?
You know, what surprised me the most is that people are somehow shocked by this.
Yeah.
Last year, Yachty was interviewed right before the season for the Post-Dispatch, and he was pretty clear then about saying he plans on playing beyond his contract. He plans on playing, and he's only going to be on his contract if he feels like he can play 130 games a year, you know, 170 million or whatever. I can never remember what the number is, like 178. So I'm not surprised at all. There's nothing I'm less surprised by. I am a big fan of Andrew Knizer. And what I'm anxious to find out is if Major League Baseball decides to implement the 26th man to the roster, how the Cardinals handle that, because that could be really interesting. They could end up bringing three catchers, you know, depending on who ends up being Yadi's backup. They could end up bringing three catchers and make it really interesting where Andrew Knizer could get a ton of at-bats as a pinch hitter. Or maybe they can use him at third base a little bit, which is, you know, where he played growing up. And or give him a few reps at first, like he's had in spring training. They could get creative with it. Obviously, if Yadier Molina plans on playing two additional years after this coming season, and he plans on playing at least 130, potentially 140, even 162 games, there isn't a whole lot of room for Andrew Knizer to go. I do think that he is already in a bit of a Carson Kelly situation. I think any prospect that's brought up or is knocking on the door as a potential backup for Yadier Molina is in a Carson Kelly situation, because the Cardinals have the ultimate faith in Yadier Molina over anything else. You know, if you were to ask me who, and again, you know this better than I do, this is total speculation, it's probably not fair, but if you were to ask me who has a better chance of making up a lineup card, Yadier Molina or Mike Schilt, I think Mike Schilt makes up a lineup card every day until Yadier Molina tells us something different. Mike Schilt just does it. That's my own personal opinion. And it might only be in regards to Yadier Molina, but I would suggest that it's probably more than just the Yadier Molina. I think we've seen it. You know, we know Yadier's been involved in roster decisions, you know, bringing guys like Jordan Hicks along two spring trainings ago. He was a very large part of that decision. He's a large part of the decision of who starts, you know, coming out of spring training. He's earned that. You know, I'm not trying to beat him up for that, but he's definitely earned part of that. I do think that this makes Andrew Knizer trade fodder. I think that one of the things that you'll start to hear, a name you're going to start to hear a lot in the 2020 year, similar to how we started hearing about Dylan Carlson more and more during 2019, is a catching prospect named Ivan Herrera. Herrera is a 19-year-old who will probably be playing at Springfield next year, who is just like a younger version of Andrew Knizer. A little bit more polished at that same age because, you know, Knizer was learning how to catch and Herrera's been catching. And I think the stepping stool is between Yadier Molina's potential end as a Cardinal and Herrera's ascent through the system match up. But what I will say is over the last couple of years, we've seen Yadier Molina play fewer and fewer games because of freak little injuries. Now, it's important to note that they're freak injuries. They're not like, you know, his knees are giving out on him or his back's giving out on him. Now, his thumbs are kind of an issue. His thumb wrist issue is a bit of a lingerer. But the only reason that he's had fewer at-bats over the last couple of years is because of freak injuries, you know, not excluding taking a ball to his manhood.
Yes.
So.
Ouch. Ouch. But go ahead.
Let's not think about it. I'm sorry for bringing it up. I immediately regret that. But I think if they don't bring in a viable backup catcher, like say they can't bring Weeders in, say he gets an opportunity to start somewhere else, which, I mean, I would anticipate happening, but maybe he loves the role that he had and getting paid to do the role that he had, and they could bring him up. But I definitely think that as long as Yadier Molina is on the roster, everyone is in a Carson Kelly situation. It's just that simple. I mean, you're either in a Carson Kelly situation or you're in a Tony Cruz situation. And the only difference there is that or we'll just say Tony Cruz, but you're either a veteran who's not going to play or you're a rookie who's not going to play unless Yadi gets hurt or unless the Cardinals decide to get creative with that 26-man position, a roster spot, if they implement the 26-man roster spot. So, yes, to answer your question in the most long-winded way a human being can do, that's how I envision that scenario being.
Before you go, I'm going to ask you a tough question. Okay.
Okay.
Is there going to be a faction of the fan base that was ready for him to ride off into the sunset after this year?
There already is. You're starting to hear it. And I'll be honest, there's going to be outrage, not from a large section, but a small section of the fan base, if they give him a multi-year contract extension, which is what I think is going to happen. And I think we know about it by the end of the winter meetings in December.
Well, I think he gets a 2-year deal.
I do too. I think he'll get that a matching contract to what Matt Carpenter got, with maybe a little bit more money, where it's 2 years with maybe an option year built in, an incentive or not an incentive, but if he hits the criteria, it vests a vesting option. I do, and I love Yadier Molina. I don't necessarily think that that's in the best interest of the St. Louis Cardinals. Like, I don't think that it was in the best interest for them to do it with Matt Carpenter last offseason. But it's going to happen. It's the reality of the situation. Mr. DeWitt will give Yadi probably whatever he wants. He'll sign off on it, and the Cardinals will allow him to ride into the sunset as a Cardinal. And hopefully it is a sunset, and hopefully he's not falling off of the horse as it happens. And if there's a player you're going to bank on, you bank on Yadier Molina before you bank on someone like Matt Carpenter. And I almost regret bringing that up, but I'm just saying that, like, that's the kind of deal that I see happening. A 2-year deal, somewhere between $18 and $20 million. I know he makes $20 million per this year. That's what's going to happen. And if I'm a betting man, just betting on what I know about Major League Baseball, and again, Father Time and all that stuff, especially the catcher position, and Yadi being the type of player who's going to pencil himself in for 130 games without a manager or a front office to tell him that he can't play 130 games. I don't know if it's in the best interest of the St. Louis Cardinals. Ideally, if I'm the front office of the Cardinals, I'm working to make it a year-to-year thing like you've been doing with Adam Wainwright and hoping for the best, because the catching position is so volatile. And I love Yadier Molina. And as a fan, I want Yadier Molina to sign a lifetime contract as a Cardinal. I wanted Matt Carpenter to sign a lifetime contract as a Cardinal. I want Adam Wainwright to sign a lifetime contract as a Cardinal. I want those things to happen as a fan. But if I'm running a business, I'm not doing that. There's no way. I would be tentative, and I would also be working this coming season to get to get Kisner as many at bats as possible, so I knew exactly what I was dealing with. So I knew how to deal with my from my strengths or my weaknesses.
I think it's important to note, like, the contrary to popular belief, Yadier Molina is better than Andrew Kisner.
Oh,
right
I don't
now.
Think anyone. I don't think anyone doubts that.
Well,
but
you know what? I think there's, like, the faction that are upset. I think there's a faction of them that just assume that he won't be because he is getting older. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, there's not a franchise in baseball that, if you said, look, going into the season next year, would you rather have? Now, I'm not talking about the long range projection, because obviously some of the younger clubs would say, well, we got nothing to lose. I'll take. My point is, if you were to say, listen, man, you're going into next year with a catcher, do you want one of these two? Every club's going to say, yeah, I'll take Yadi at age 38 this year over Andrew Kisner's rookie year. Every club's going to do that. Now, if they're trying to win. I'm not talking about a club that says, yeah, if you give him to me and I get to keep him, yeah, I'll take Kisner, because you'll see common sense in my argument here. That's what bothers me the most about this is that, and Benji's made that argument for him, and he gets called a homer. Well, it's your brother. And he's like, if we get off the air, he's like, this has nothing to do with him being my brother. He's the best option right now. Why do you not want him to play? Now you got all the people that think they know more than everybody else and say, well, he'd be even better if he rested and you know what? Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't, but that's not how he's built. And listen, sometimes you have to take a guy for who he is when he's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Well, this is also where, like, the war argument drives me nuts. I've seen people point to Yadi. He's like, he had a 1.9 war. He's had declining war over the last 3 years. And again, I am very respectful. I like a lot of the advanced analytics. I don't have a problem with war, but war doesn't tell the whole story.
No, it doesn't. Because it wasn't. Like, didn't we have a team this year as a whole was -3 or -?
I have. I don't,
Somebody,
I don't have the slightest idea.
Because I thought this was great. It totally got glossed over. Somebody goes, so if, and I can't remember what team it was. So if they were, as a group, minus 0.3, then that means a AAA team would beat them on a consistent basis. And that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So there you go. There you go. It's a baseline. It's not always accurate. And it definitely is proven by guys that want to have an open mind that of all the positions, that it especially is hard to quantify its catcher.
Yeah, I agree. That was the exact point I was going to make. I think Yadi had a potentially more effective season when he was healthy in 2019 than he had in 2017. I thought he had a great 2018. I thought that that's the best he's looked in years. Framing, all of it. You know, he didn't look clunky behind the plate. I thought his 2018 season was amazing. I don't think the 2019 season was that good, even when he was healthy. But I don't think that that number appropriately represents how good he was last year. You know, I want him to get rest because I just think I love him and I want him to be around forever. But like you said, he has a routine that he goes in and it makes him ready to play every day. And as someone myself, you know, I'm not even his age. I'm younger than he is with a completely broke down body. I have a routine that I get into and, you know, exercise, workout, that stuff. And if I don't do that for one day and I take a day off and then I go back to work, I'm stoved up and I'm a mess. If you're in a routine and it's getting you to a certain point, taking off from that routine is a dangerous, dangerous thing, even if it is for a short period of time. If it ends up being for a long period of time, it very well could be. But, you know, I respect Yadier Molina. I love him. If I was in Mr. DeWitt's situation, I would. I'd give him a lifetime contract. I'd do exactly what we're talking about right now. I get where he's coming from. The legacy players and have a huge monetary impact on these teams for the long run. Yeah, that's one thing that Mr. DeWitt understands and feels. That's why Matt Carpenter got the contract that Matt Carpenter got. I understand that, but if I was running a front office, because of all the intangibles, I don't think that, again, if I didn't have like an emotional connection to Yadi, if I was a cold, heartless beast, computer human being, like I tend to be sometimes, I would not give him a 2-year contract. There's no way. I would try to do it year to year.
Well, it's the whole thing is it's tough, man. I get it. I understand like wanting to prepare yourself for the future. I understand that. No issue. I get it. I'm just saying that the whole thing, the way it's set up now, like, you know, here, you can't deny the fact like Real Muto won the Gold Glove this year because he threw out a large percentage of runners. I brought this up, but do you realize how many times people stole on him this year?
Yeah.
There were more stolen bases successful than attempts against Yadi.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I said, you can't, it's just, you know, and you can argue with people all day long about it. And it's just, it's a senseless argument, but man, listen, we've went way too long. Mose has been on deck for a long, long time here, but I appreciate you today. It was a great conversation. I mean, we could literally talk about this all day long. So
yeah,
want to thank you and want our listeners to know how they can follow you.
Yeah. Follow me on Twitter. KYLER416. We do a little show called Prospects After Dark.
Just a little show.
That streams through Periscope onto Twitter. We'll probably do it Sunday night. Fingers crossed I can make it happen. I've got some work things going on, so I'm not 100% sure if I will. I love doing it. And then on Black Friday, on Birds on the Black, I'll start rolling out my organizational position rankings. This is just the minor leaguers. And that'll be one article a day for 7 days or something like that. And it's some great information. We'll have some gifts, maybe some information you might not get anywhere else. It's very self-deprecating. I'm very self-deprecating about myself when I write, and it's a lot of fun. So just keep an eye out for all that. And if you would please apologize to Mose for me getting into his time a little bit.
I think he's okay. I'm dying to hear his thoughts on this, but I know he's probably going to want to talk about we got another text line question specifically for him, so he's going to have a good time. I'm not worried about Mose.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I'm anxiously wait for you to upload it so I can listen to it.
No Bruno today, though. Too hard at work. But I'm excited by the fact that he was like, he's taking like he's been like, I'm not sure I can keep doing it.
But he keeps every week. So I'm like, he must be enjoying it. And I like him on here. He brings a complete different conversation to the mix. I think it's a good fit. I like him. I think it's good.
Do me a favor. Do me a favor. Yes. Next, if he's on next week,
yes.
Bring up the historical aspect of the Astros cheat. You have to get his
thoughts on
it.
Oh, I'm going to. That's why I was really hoping he could be on today. But, you know, we'll get him on next week and get his thoughts on it. Because, again, I think this is far from over. And I think it's like this is another moment in time in the game of baseball where they have an opportunity to either fix something permanently or handle it. And listen, the odds would be they're going to handle this incorrectly. But we'll see. You know. We'll see.
Awesome, Jim.
All right, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon, pal. All right, brother.
All right, bye.
The great Kyle Reese, the shirtless wonder that we love having on, and appreciate our friends at Patterson Tire for their text line question coming in for Kyle. Don't forget to follow him at his locations there. And, of course, special thanks to Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. 618-797-6711. Give him a call for a quote or head on down there and see Brian or Kevin, 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois, 62040. All right, let's head it on over now and welcome in my man and yours, Mo's Algorithm. What do you say, Mo's?
What's going on, Jim?
Well, man, got long-winded with Kyle there. I started out the show today with a tone in my voice that I could tell fans knew I was going to be a little shitty today. And the reality of it is, and I don't know where you're at on it, but this Houston thing stinks to high heaven to me. And you know what? I'm going to say this, admittedly. Everybody knows that I like to keep, like, I don't want to give 100% credit of everything to the analytics and numbers. I understand their importance, and I understand. But so there's a part of me that feels like all these people that were screaming at me, the Houston Astros are the best team, and look at what they're doing, and it's all analytics. Well, it turns out it ain't all analytics, is it? So there's a variety of reasons why guys are good, and it's not just analytics. And I say that saying that I understand that analytics can help. But, man, I got to tell you, like, this thing really is sticking at me for some reason. What's your thoughts on this whole thing?
Yes, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, like, Spygate, you know, the Patriots back when they played the Rams in the Super Bowl. And I don't know that anything will really come of it, maybe some draft pick compensation issues. But it is kind of sad how, like, we're supposed to use technology for good, right, not necessarily for bad, and especially when it comes to sports. Like, I've always been kind of leery of technology in sports. Like, that's kind of one thing sports is known for, is hand signals and commands and keywords and phrases and, you know, in any sport you play. And when you see technology taking over and doing, you know, that kind of thing, it's unfortunate for everyone involved. And, like, you know, you hate to see teams, especially teams win a championship doing something like that. Like, that's just, like I said, it just takes me back to how I felt about the Patriots when they were caught doing what they did.
Well, my thing is, and what really upset me is, I just, the people that want to, like, just shoo it away is that, it's no big deal. It is. It's a huge deal. Knowing what pitch is coming is a huge deal. It's massive.
Thing to do. Like, it's the hardest thing to do in baseball is hit the baseball. And when it moves and goes as fast as those pitchers can do it, but you have a tip. Like, I don't mind if hitters share with their teammates, you know, that they know a guy's tipping a pitch. Like,
absolutely. That's part of real, like, gamemanship.
Yeah. But, like, using technology to steal information like that, that's crossing the line. That's not competing. That's cheating. That's just flat out cheating. And I know people that have gotten upset about, like, well, I hate when the guy at second base stands out there and waves which way to pitch. You know, I coach softball, and I've had parents and stuff that get upset about that stuff. And I'm going, look, if we don't let that girl on second base, then we don't have to worry about that. So I don't ever have issues with players and stuff doing that sort of thing. I have issue when you get, you know, technology or adults or stuff like that, when they start getting involved and interjecting and making it an unfair advantage.
Yeah, let me tell you. I will say this. I have zero issue with that. There's nothing. And number one, that's not against the rules. Okay, like, picking that up that way is not against the rule. People wanted to brush. Like, what's the big deal that the Patriots, like, everybody that's the whole everybody's doing it thing, and, you know, and whatever. Like, what do you mean? Knowing what somebody's going to run and how they're formate, like, it, again, If it wasn't a big deal, then people wouldn't try to do it without everybody knowing they're doing it. See, that's my thing about it, right? Like, oh my God. I don't know. Like, it saddens me to hear you. Like, I was really looking for you to go, oh, I think they're going to hammer him like chop meat, make an example of him. But you know what? I have no doubt that they may gloss over this. And that's upsetting because once I have, like, what has Major League Baseball handled correctly that you would assume they would handle this correctly, I guess, is the way you have to look at it.
I mean, I think they went kind of hard after the Cardinals, you know, with their situation. But
and by the way, doesn't that guy's comments maybe have a little merit now? Like, I might be looking into that if I was somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, good on Mike Fiers, right? Like, wow. Like, to be the whistleblower and be like, look, I can't take this anymore. Like, this is what was happening. You know, and it's not even out of, like, if he did it, like, as soon as he got traded or whatever, then you're like, oh, it's just out of spite. Like, he's angry. But, like, he sat on this, and then finally, I don't know what happened, but he's like, this is what was going on. Like, I'm not gonna hide this anymore.
Well, you know, the hard part for him is, and I, you know, and he had to know this was coming. And I do, I'm like you, kind of, I applaud him a little bit because he's no dummy. He knew this was coming. You know, the boy, he sure didn't mind it in 2017 when he was there. You know, I didn't see him standing up there. So he's going to deal with that. I mean, you know,
it's tough to bite the hand that feeds you, though. Right?
Sure. Yeah. No. Yeah. Like, and that's right.
The last thing you want to do is get blackballed for saying something, you know, like these guys sometimes are afraid. It doesn't take much these days for athletes to get blackballed.
Correct. And to your point and where you're dead on is like the hardest part would have been trying to do it while he was there. Now, that being said, If he was really felt that strongly about it while it was happening, then why didn't he do it as soon as they traded him? Well, that may have come across as, you know, upset because you're gone, or I can't remember if he got traded or released, whatever it was. But long story short, you know, there's going to be that faction of people that go, well, I guess maybe, just maybe he's this or that or whatever. And it's like, well, in the end, If it was okay, then make it legal. Don't hide it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I said, this thing's gonna get like something kind of. Nobody's said a word about this, but I think it's already started last night, where it's getting to the point where this is not good. And that was Carlos Beltran coming out last night and saying, "I didn't know anything about it." Yeah, we would steal pitches from second base, and we were really good about watching the opposing pitchers. And like I told Kyle, he's a liar. That why he did, like him choosing to bring that up was bad luck for him. There is no way he didn't know what was going on. Now he, like I told him, he may have very well been a guy that was like, look, I don't want no part of this.
Yep.
And like, he may have been like, look, I don't want you to tell me what pitches come. Like Ken Griffey Jr. went on record one time as going, I don't want nobody to tell me what pitch is coming because, you know, they figure it out. And then he's like, I don't want any help at second base. He came out and said it, you know, like, and Beltran could have been that way. He could have been like, nope, guys, fundamentally, I think this is wrong. You guys do what you want. I'm not going to stand in your way, but fundamentally, I don't want to be a part of it. And that's fine. And maybe, to your point, he may have been like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything because number one, I know a lot of other, and this is what I was getting at. It's obvious this is going on other places. Otherwise people would have spilled the beans a whole lot sooner. So the truth is, him coming out and saying he didn't know about it, he's a liar. There is no way this happened and everybody up and down the line didn't know what was going on.
But it's also the fact, like, his answer would have been different a month ago. He's part of that mafia mindset now. When I told you that, like, Fiers was probably worried about getting blackballed, like, he's a manager now. Like, he works for, you know, for a franchise like that where he's in the club, right? There's a club. He's part of the manager's club, part of the front office club, and he's not gonna do things that make him look bad or make other people like him look bad right now. It's all politics. So of course he's gonna say, I didn't know anything about that. I got a job here with the Mets I gotta worry about now.
Yeah, this whole thing is gonna be like, I don't know. So but I don't know. But to get let's get to some Cardinal baseball here because we have some questions I think that are really really directed towards you and what you do really well here. So let's first start with something that I know that you'll tell us how you really feel. I want to get on the Patterson Tire and Service text line. A lot of stuff came in, obviously, about that, but a lot of stuff about the Yachty situation and wanting to play. Now, this doesn't come as a surprise to me at all. It didn't come as a surprise to Kyle at all. I guess I'll ask you, did it come as a surprise to you at all?
That he wants to keep playing as long as he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I'm hoping, and we've talked about this before, I love Yachty. He's done amazing things in the sport. He's done amazing things for the Cardinals. I just hate to see guys not know when to say it's over, you know? And I don't want to see that broken down Yachty going out there every 4 days because he's not the prime catcher anymore and, like, not, he can't hit for power much anymore and he's not very good defensively. I don't want to see that. So I want him to go out like when he feels good and like get involved in managing or coaching, or because you know that's where he's headed. So I as a Cardinal fan, him being a Cardinal his entire career, I just don't want to see him go out like Albert is right now. I feel like it's just like that's the last thing you remember is remember when Yachty was god awful his last 2 years. Like, I don't want to remember that. So it, in my heart, I was hoping that he'd be like, you know, as soon as this contract's up, like, I've done everything I can. I've won World Series. I've done this. I've done that. I'm going to go ahead and step away now. But, you know, more power to him if he thinks he can do it. It's just, you know, Father Time is undefeated. He's battled it a long time. So props to him for doing it.
Isn't that the thing, though? Here's where I'm at on it, to be honest with you. The Albert thing, you know, he signed such a long contract that they're like the end in sight of that is at the end of that contract. So let's be frank, like the end of Yachty's thing is next year. Well, I mean, he was fine. I mean, there's not like, he's not like, he's had some weird injuries. Like that's what me and Kyle were talking about a little bit, but like, he doesn't have a bad knee. He doesn't have a bad arm. You know, he's had the, like occasionally the thumb will flare up, which, you know, happens. And then, you know, a little bit of a wrist thing.
Well, when you catch 50 million pitches, you're
right, right, right. So, but my point is, it's not like you're looking at it going, well, we're like, but like, it would be no different. I know what you're saying. If you signed him to a 2 year and then it was just, you know, what do you do? But see, here's the thing about him. I don't, and this is why the catching thing is so interesting to me. You know, it's what goes first, you know, when Father Time catches up with you. Will it be the defense? Will it be the offense? Like, you know, like he's still defensive. Like, you're still not going to, I still, as a baseball guy, okay, will still tell you I would much rather have, now, obviously, Realmuto's a really good catcher, and he's a great hitter. No problem. I understand that. But the fact that everybody wants to talk about his throwout percentage means zip to me. Because 40-something guys reached second base, and not even 40 guys tried to steal on Yachty.
Yeah.
So no. I don't want to hear about the percentage of runners that Realmuto threw out. Yeah, he threw out 43, but 49 stole second. So he had like 90 guys or 100 guys or whatever almost try to steal on him. Yachty had like 27 or something like that. So he still prevents the other team from running on you. He still controls the pitchers. You know, he's still good. There's a different aspect to the game when it comes to catchers, and as long as he can do it. Now, the problem is we're all assuming, like, one day it's going to come over the cliff for him, and he's not. Like, all of a sudden, everybody's going to run, and all of a sudden, he's not going to be able to control the pitchers, and all of a sudden, he's going to, you know, he won't be able to frame, but he won't be able to steal strike, and blah, 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 right? We're all assuming that. But for the most part, he's been who he's been his whole career, if not in some areas, gotten better.
Yeah, and I think defensively is not where I would worry, right?
Like, yeah.
I think he keeps himself in such tremendous shape for his age that, like, the defensive side of it doesn't really concern me, and it's more like the offense is just going to go away. Like, it just does. It does with everyone, right? It doesn't matter how good you were or what pedigree you were. That you get to a point, and sometimes it offensively it just does fall off a cliff. Like, defensively you can see deterioration over time, but – you know, and sometimes offensively it's deterioration over time, but there are times, and we've seen really good players recently just be done. Like, they're just done. You know, they're just not good anymore.
And that's where I worry. But if they want to go year for year, like if that's what he's interested in doing when his deal's up, he's, you know, he does the Waino thing where he's just like, all right, well, here's the incentives I want to try for this year. So let's go out there and do it again. And the next winter he wants to do it again and go year for year, fine. But like, let's not get into like 2 or 3 year deals with this guy anymore. Like then you're going to trap yourself in a situation where you're just wasting money.
Yeah, I think the whole, I will say this. I'm intrigued by it only because, you know, like here, I'll give you an example. You know, I'm like, I don't know what they're going to do next year. I'm not sure what they're going to do the year after, but it sure doesn't look like this club's ever going to be their approach, let's say, to the way they construct their team is never going to really align with how I do it anyway.
No, no. You know? And that's what we talked about that a few weeks ago. I said, I've given up on that. Like I've given up on my ideas ever being applied to what they actually do.
So like I told people, like to me, and again, people always say, boy, I'm really glad we sidestepped that Pujols contract. And I always say, well, okay. If we would have sidestepped the Pujols contract and really dumped a shitload of money into free agents and went out and were like one of a team every year that you felt really good about its opportunities to win the World Series, not just possibly win a wild card or possibly the division, I think I could have got on board with that. But the fact that we basically deal with the same things kind of with some up and down, like we had a bad run there for 3 years, but you know, the what it is, I'd much rather have the romantic side of baseball to have my whole life. And that was to see Albert retire here like he should have, to watch Yachty retire here like he should have. So to be honest with you, I'm kind of in that place. And again, if he was like awful last year, maybe I would feel different. But no matter what anybody says, he's still better than Kisner right now. Now, this doesn't do Kisner any favors for his career. But Kisner, you know what, probably a nice guy. I've never met him, you know, nice, young, good player. Me and Kyle talked about this, right? But he won't be the first person in baseball. Like, it's funny, Steve Flowers, who does the show with us, played baseball, man ball, we call it, with the guy, introduced me to him, and said, let me tell you what this guy's claim to fame is. He goes, this is, and he says his name. Says, do you know who he is? And I said, nope. He says, of course you don't. He was the shortstop at AAA for the Baltimore Orioles in the 80s. That's why you don't know who he is.
Hey, they had a pretty good one already up in Baltimore here.
Never got a chance, right?
Yep.
Was a good player. Never got a chance. It happens every day, right? Now, trade him, get something for him, help yourself in another arena, like Kyle said today. They've got another one of these guys right behind Kisner that probably matches up more if Yachty wants to play 2 more years. Figure it out.
Yep.
You know, listen, this is when it comes down to, and other teams have proven it. I think the Astros have proven it really, really well. Not all prospects help you by playing for you.
Yeah.
Let's try to remember that Gerrit Cole didn't come up with the Houston Astros. Neither did Justin Verlander.
Neither did Zach Greinke.
Okay. None of those guys came up with the Houston Astros. They got them somehow. Michael Brantley didn't come up with the, you know, all important pieces of that machine. Now, they have some homegrown guys, but all teams typically that are successful have that mix. Well, how do you think they get those other guys? They either get them by signing free agents that are big-time free agents that they lose a first-round pick, that they can afford to lose the pick because their farm system is deep. Okay, they can do that, or they traded for him. And the Cardinals have done that in the past. No issue here with that whatsoever. It just kind of burns me a little bit when people get so bent out of shape when you trade a prospect for a proven talent.
Yep.
So
I totally agree with that approach. Like, you know, I don't want to sell the farm. Like, I'm not that type of you know, you got to be somewhat conservative, but like, there's a point where you're just being too conservative and blocking guys and you know, stunting growth and like, you know, some, you get scared that your depth doesn't have enough depth. And it's like, come on, like at some point you've got to just go ahead and make some deals to try and get better at the top end. you know, because that's something Kyle and I have talked about in the past, is like the Cardinals just lack top-end talent. They lack A players. They have a lot of nice B-plus players. They got some B-minus players. They have some very good C players. But, like, when you look at the teams that were in the World Series and the teams that did well, like, they have A-plus players. They have some very, very top-end talent that the Cardinals don't have anything anywhere near that. So, and when they do, sometimes it's guys like Goldschmidt that it's not going to be long before he's not really an A player anymore.
Yeah. I will say this. I like your approach with the whole thing and how you come at it with that, because the only way right now you're upset is because you want to see who Kisner is. Right. Kind of like I want to see who Tyler O'Neill is, and I want to see whether or not they're any good at this juncture for me is kind of irrelevant. I want to see who they are. Like, this is my opportunity to see who they are. Well, the problem is I think there's a faction of St. Louis fans out there that are like, well, we never really got to see who Carson Kelly was. And like, now it seems like we're not going to get to find out who Andrew Kisner was. Well, my point on this whole thing is it'd be different if the guy that's blocking him wasn't any good, but he is good.
Yep.
He's been one of the best to play the position. And we just happen to know their names. These guys exist every year somewhere. Now, typically the cities where they play, people know who they are because everybody, whenever a guy struggles, clamors for the next big thing. But I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting thing. And I thought it was really well put. This gentleman's text on the Patterson Tire and Service text line, really wish he would have put in there his name, because I thought it was pretty good. Here's one last question for you, and it's from our good friend Ryan Hetzer, who does writing for Two Birds Bloggers and does a great job. And I thought this was something for you because I know how you're feeling right now and how I'm feeling right now. So I'm going to hit you with this. I feel like some of Mozeliak's best work through the years has come when he's under the radar and no one is expecting a move. Do you get this sense? And if so, what is a potential under the radar move you could see happening? Not necessarily an exact player, but a position. So let me tell you how I read this and what he's saying. So, and I think I understand where he's coming from, but the reality of it is the Cardinals are typically not very loud and vocal about what they're going to do. And I think I said on the show yesterday when I did it with Ron that, like, last year you kind of had an idea that the Goldschmidt thing was real because there was real rumbling coming from real people. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, kind of like the Dexter Fowler winter.
Yeah.
That was just like the writing was just all over, no matter how much. And even Ozuna, like, you knew we were getting a Marlins outfielder.
Yeah.
Right. So it's been a few years in a row now that, like, a few winters in a row, we've had an obvious, a very, very obvious need and a very, very obvious fit that no matter how much Mozeliak tried to, like, you know, sway it away or make it not a thing, like, we all do, like, this is bullshit. Like, this is what you're doing. And sure enough, we got Dexter, we got Ozuna, we got Goldie, like those three things. But man, I just think back to like the Jason Hayward deal. That to me felt out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like we just didn't, like, you know, it was a great deal. I thought it was a great deal. We needed a right fielder after what happened to Oscar. And that was a really good try to like sell the guy before he went to free agency. Like, I loved the deal. I thought it was a great deal. I thought Hayward played great when he was at the Cardinals. But, like, I think, right, the gentleman who sent the text in. Like,
no.
Because that deal worked out really, really well. Like, and it's because they didn't feel any pressure to go do it and force it, make it happen.
Right.
But I also think, like, the Ozuna deal worked out really well. Like, they got what they got out of him, and they didn't give up a lot. So,
yeah, in the end, everybody freaked out over trading Sierra because he come up here for a month and hit 400.
Oh, God,
and everybody,
don't yeah, get
I
me started.
I know
that,
how that – I know. Oh my god.
So, yeah. Not a fan of that guy.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. Like I said, I will say this, you know, because we're running out of time here, but I'm with you 100% on that. And so I think it was a great question because I do think that sometimes, see, here's why I'll end it, and then you can say your piece and then we'll go. But I would have to believe, and everybody thinks they're not doing anything. Like, I think they're constantly talking to people and looking at different things. I don't think, like, I hate to say this, but there's a part of me, like, you know how you always say, like, if I could ask a guy one question that if he would really answer me, and I've always said that
you know, that the whole, like, I'd always ask Mike Matheny about the Brandon Moss thing and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I will say this, like, if I could ask Mosaic one thing about that, I would ask him, are you guys always really talking to people about opportunities for trades? Because in my mind, I think it's no different than your office fantasy baseball league.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I was just waiting for you to finish.
And people are like, well, what do you mean? They don't make these crazy trades. No. I'm not talking about the actual trades. I'm talking about the ones that we all discuss that never happen. I look back on my own fantasy and everybody knows, like it's funny. And I'll just tell you, me and a guy in our office, like, this is how big our league is. We didn't finish in the top four during the regular season, which is a total another payout. But we won first place, and it was like $13,000 in the playoffs. That's how big our league is, right? Like, you own a franchise. You own the minor league system. You own, like, players, and you give contracts. And everybody, based on how much you pay, you get to spend more money. Like, we're, like, the highest salary in the league, but we pay the most money. Like, it's crazy, right?
Yep.
I think it's the same thing. I think back to all the trade. Like, I sit around next to one of my best friends who sits next to me in this office, and he has a team in the league, and we talk about trades all the time that never happen. Oh, get the hell out of it. You know, like, hey, let's do this. And then it sounds good, and then I go talk to my partner, and he goes talk to his. Oh, can't. You know, I mean, I think it's like that. I really do. Because I think teams are always looking to improve, and especially trade from areas of strength.
Yeah, and I think they're a lot like us in the terms of, like, there's always certain guys I want, like, right? Like, there's just guys that I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of their production. I think their production is outweighs their draft value. You know, I just, there's certain guys that are my guys.
Right.
And, like, if I don't get them in the draft, I do my best at times to, like, try and weasel my way into negotiating a trade. Like, I just try to, like, I try not to make it too obvious that I wanted them in the draft. So that way I can kind of, you know, just, you know, act like I just randomly want them at times. And, like, there are those talks where you just sit and you're like, hey, would you give up this guy? And they're like, no, that's not going to happen. Like, that's off the table. And you're like, okay, well, what if I threw in this guy? Would that move you at all? Like, I think those discussions happen with those GMs and those presidents. Like, I think that they have those guys. Like, Goldie was probably a guy that Mosaic has wanted for years. But, like, you just have to patiently, like, wait that out and check back with them and, like, see where they're at and what you can offer. And I find that very fascinating and interesting.
Yeah, I'm assuming most trades don't happen within an hour over a cup of coffee, but there's a lot of ground.
Probably not.
And we don't like that because we want shit and we want it now. That's how we feel. But, hey, man, I appreciate you today. Good stuff. I want all our listeners to know where they can follow you.
On Facebook at Mo's Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ_algorithm.
Great stuff as always, my friend. I'm going to chat with you next week.
All right, Jim. See ya.
That's the one, the only, Mo's Algorithm. That's going to do it for us today here with Bowties and Bullshit, brought to you by our friends at Two Birds on a Bat. As always, coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. I want to thank Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com for his continued support of our shows. Residential, commercial, industrial, Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com is the name you know and trust. To the Patterson family with Patterson Tire and Service, the text line, a whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call, 618-797-6711. Located at 3718 Highway 111, Granite City, Illinois. Done a lot for their community. Give them an opportunity for your business. They've earned it. To our friends at Adam Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis. I know we're partial, but I know you'll think so too. Never had anybody tell me any different that I've sent in there. Located on Watson Road. Have the left side of the menu, have the right, doesn't matter. It'll be good. They do box lunch orders, catering, and of course, dine in and get that smell, get that feel like you're at down in Memphis or one of the great barbecue areas. I think St. Louis has put itself on the map in barbecue, and that is due to people like the Adam Smokehouse. Check them out. It's located on Watson Road, St. Louis. Here's your cue. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. It's the offseason. Time to get better. Check out their four-pillar system at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. DrChristianJacobs.com and Ooh La La Spa and Anti-Aging Wellness Center remind you every day of Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Take care of yourself, both inside and out. That's DrChristianJacobs.com. For all of our friends out there in Cardinal land, this is Two Birds on a Bat, Bow Ties and Bullshit. Let's go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.